You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Coming up on this episode, we'll talk about a play that goes wrong in the most perfect way, a new musical that's playing in Solana Beach that has a Guys and Dolls connection, and the Friends musical parody, They'll Be There for You in Culver City. It's Curtains Up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm radio host and theater enthusiast Lara Scott, along with celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong.
Hi, Lara.
Back in the house. I love that you were playing Super Mario Brothers in our lobby.
Well, your lobby rules.
Thank you.
But yeah, it actually was Donkey Kong.
Oh, it was Donkey Kong. See?
Old school.
I need to get back on that machine. You know, and I just love, Will, like, you're this super hip guy, you know, and you're going to all these, like, celebrity events in Hollywood, yet you'll still sit down and play Donkey Kong if the opportunity presents itself. I will challenge you to Pac-Man and Frogger.
Pac-Man, maybe. I'm certain I can beat you at Miss Pac-Man, though.
Oh, I don't know. I still have the pattern stuck in my head from all those days at the Goldmine Arcade in Florida.
Amazing.
Just say it. All right, so getting back to theater, it really is an action-packed show today. We're going to start with a play that I saw while you and your hubby Bill were jet-setting around Europe.
Yeah.
And I'm so bummed that you missed the play that goes wrong at the Amundsen Theater, Will. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen on
stage.
It's
been getting such incredible buzz, and everybody's been talking about how amazing the show is.
Yeah, and even before it started, I went with my friend Rick, who's also a publicist, and you could just hear the crowd. Like, some people had seen it, I think, in New York, and J.J. Abrams was part of the team. J.J. Abrams and Kevin McCollum brought it to New York, and now I think this is the first national tour of this play. So not a musical, it's a play, although there is some music in it. And it starts off, and even before the show begins, parts of the set are kind of falling apart. Like, stuff is falling off the walls.
Oh my gosh.
Some of the actors are interacting with the audience. And we were like third row, so we could see everything up close. And the whole premise is that it's this fictional college drama group that's putting on a 1920s murder mystery. But the guy playing the corpse won't stay dead. Like, he keeps moving around, or, you know, doors won't open and they kind of have to run around the set to make their entrance.
Excellent.
And they're playing it very seriously, except there's one guy who's like waving at the crowd and like taking bows and everything. But at the same time, there's a really good story that's being told. But it reminded me a lot, Will, of Laurel and Hardy, just that great physical comedy that's happening in front of you. I do wonder if the set has to be rebuilt every night after they get done. And just such clever dialogue and relatively small cast.
It's so funny. It's to hear you talk about it, it sounds like every nightmare I've had about performing, where it just everything goes wrong and you're just like, I'm in the wrong costume. I don't know the choreography. What's my line? It's just like, I bet you like that was the impetus to the script and to the story itself, is just like, because it just goes part and parcel with being a working actor, is that reoccurring dream that everything goes to hell.
And it really does. It is literally the play that goes wrong. And there are just these moments, Will, where somebody will say, and it's almost midnight, and they point to the clock and the clock's stuck at 5 p.m.
Right.
Or they'll say, look at this bottle of alcohol, there's not a drop left, and they hold it up and it's full. You know, just like one thing after another. But exactly what you said, Will, I was having that conversation with a friend where I was going, it's got to be so hard because everything in you, probably as a trained actor, wants to do it properly. But you have to remember to bump into the wall or run into the post or whatever it is.
When we were in Europe, I met up with friends that I performed with on cruise ships years and years ago, and we talked about something that went wrong in one of our shows where we have quick changes. And quick changes, when your costume is preset in the wings, so when you exit the stage, you rip off the costume you were wearing and you grab the costume that's preset, and then you run back on stage for the next number. Well, I thought I'd be clever, and I was like, well, I'm going to leave my shorts to my second costume on the other side of the stage so it'll be there when I need it. I had to put it on the wrong side. So I had this tunic. I had a tunic and then shorts, but the shorts were on the wrong side. So I just had the tunic and a belt. And I was like, well, the tunic is long enough, I'll be fine. The first thing I do, the choreography, is run out and jump in the air and spin in a circle. And it flies up, and I'm a Ken doll from the waist down. And so that it was on a cruise ship. So that night I was at the Midnight Buffet, and I'm just like putting food on my plate, and these people were like, what about that naked guy in the show? And I was like, Guilty as charged. It was awful.
Well, thankfully, Will, you're very fit.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure they were very happy.
I know, like, but woo. I mean, I should have gotten paid a lot more.
That's where we're going with this.
Exactly.
Well, I did hear them saying that they have like 20 contingencies. If things don't actually go wrong the way they're supposed to, like what they do to kind of cover that. And that was my other thought. I wonder how much was kind of improvised or maybe things went wrong that weren't supposed to go wrong mm-hmm. that way. But it was hilarious. I highly recommend it. And this is a great show because you can bring a kid to it. Like I saw kids that were probably 5 or 6 years old. It is long. I mean, if you're going at night, you're going to be there till close to 11.
Wow.
So maybe go to the matinee unless you have a night owl kid like me. Mm-hmm. But I saw grandparents there with grandkids. So it really is one of those sort of all ages shows.
So great.
And there were some funny jokes about like the audience in New York wouldn't act that way. And like I got shushed for laughing too loud because there's a guy playing the producer of this fictional show that's taking it very seriously. Oh, he's like, why are you laughing? You know, this isn't funny. So just a blast. It is going to be at the Amundsen Theater in downtown LA through August 11th. The play that goes wrong, it's so right.
And I still have time to see it.
All right, up next, we're going to talk to Mark Saltzman, who is conceived this awesome new musical called Another Roll of the Dice. It takes audiences back to the colorful locale of Runyon Land, which was first introduced on stage in Frank Lesser's legendary Broadway musical, Guys and Dolls.
I am so excited.
Welcome to West of Broadway, Mark Saltzman.
Hey, Mark.
Yay!
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you.
Thanks.
The show we'll be talking about is my show, Another Roll of the Dice. And it's based on stories by Damon Runyon and has songs by Frank Lesser, which might sound like a familiar partnership.
Yeah.
They did Guys and Dolls so long ago.
Exactly. It's so exciting.
Now, is this a continuation of Guys and Dolls? Is this something different just with characters that we know and love? Take us into what it covers.
Yeah, we've been calling it an accomplice to Guys and Dolls.
I love that.
it's not the same characters, but Mindy's Deli is the central place, just like it was in Guys and Dolls. And the Runyon stories we used are different stories, but it's the same world. It's the same world of the gangsters and the gun malls and the people who stumble into this world for better or worse. So yeah, it's the same world, different guys, other dolls.
Is that the tagline? Other
yeah.
guys, different dolls. Now with this too, I mean, Frank Lesser, so many songs in the Great American Songbook, and in
yeah.
this one, I've heard you have Heart and Soul and Two Sleepy
yeah.
People, and Let's Get Lost. What a beautiful set of songs. Now, how did you even come up with the idea to do this?
Oh, this is one of these wonderful ideas that came to me that a friend of mine was representing the Runyon estate and asked me, oh, you know, we're looking to use the stories more, and do you have any ideas? And my jaw fell. I thought it was like, you know, winning the Willy Wonka gold ticket or something.
Sure.
I said, yeah, I have a few ideas. And that was what really came into my mind was, what about all those other stories? Because I love Damon Runyon, and Guys and Dolls at an early age had led me to Damon Runyon, and I think I read every story he wrote, and I knew there was more stuff there. And when they invited me to do that, they sent over the complete works. They sent over some unpublished stories, which is like
wow.
striking gold, and I found three that I thought would adapt really well.
That's incredible. So my question for you is, like, what's the direction? Like, what do we hope that to do with this kind of show? Like, is this something that is someday set for the Great White Way, or is this something that is just going to live in repertory theater and travel around?
You know, it's hard to say because last Friday, if somebody asked that, I'd say, well, I guess we have to wait till the reviews come in
sure.
to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reviews came in.
Yeah, that's right. You just opened. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're very, very happy with the reviews.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, in my mind, okay, now we're going to aim for New York. It's six actors who play 30 roles.
Wow.
So, you know, it kind of has that off-Broadway quality, you know, small house Broadway. But now that we've seen the reaction of the press and the audience, we really are starting to think we have a New York show here.
Excellent.
That's wonderful.
It sounds obvious saying a Damon Runyon show is a New York show, but right. You know, it was clear that we had some legs on this.
Now, did you have to get approval from anyone in the Lesser family or in the Runyon family to move forward with this?
I did. It's not the Runyon family. It's a that one is a corporation, a literary rights corporation. They're the ones who contacted me. Once I knew I wanted to use Frank Lesser songs, I had to go to the estate. Yeah, and you probably know, just a few months ago, we lost Joe Sullivan, who was Frank Lesser's widow.
Yes,
and she was working pretty close with me too. I had to bring the idea to her, and we did a presentation, and she gave me notes after the presentation, and some songs. The agreement was, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but not to use songs that were already in Frank Lesser musicals. You know, like, there's so many others, you know, Hans Christian Andersen and Most Happy Fella.
Right.
But I understood that. It's just the pop songs, the American Songbook songs. But she was instrumental in pointing me towards some lesser known, you know, some of the...
oh, my God. That's the name of your next show,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it might be. But there was one we have that really wasn't even published as a song. It was only in an obscure movie, and it worked perfectly for this show. And I remember her saying, I had the opening number is I Hear Music. And it was, opening number. You know, opening numbers are the toughest things to pull together. And I want to get the plot about a robbery of a candy warehouse. I want to get that going during the opening number. And, you know, it was that juggling act. And I told her, this is still work in progress. And she said, no, we had the same problem with Most Happy Fella.
Wow.
We couldn't get the opening right. That's pretty comforting coming from Mrs. Frank Lesser. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things when you're working on a show and don't know what they're talking about. But, yeah, okay, I'll take that note.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I wish she could have been around to see this, finally, to see the show go up and, you know, we missed it by just a few months that she passed away.
That's such a shame. How is it performing in California? Like, especially, like, what's are you finding the North Coast Repertory Theater like comfortable and good audiences?
Yeah, it really is. It's like I said, six actors performing the show. Larry Souza directing. He came from Boston. He's an East Coaster. So pretty much thought he went to heaven in a California beach town.
And,
I'm jaded. I've been in L.A. for 30 years. But I can't think of, you know, maybe you guys know theater, but where in America is there a theater like that, that you kind of can walk to the beach when you're done, you know? Let's take a tan. Okay, let's go to the beach. And this sort of was... situated in such a beautiful spot that I think four of our actors were local, and one of them, Derek Penny, came out from New York for this, and he experienced his first earthquake.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's still here after that? He didn't go running back east?
No. I mean, he looked terrified. You know, all of us at this point are just, you know, if it's just one of those rumblers, we call them, you know, it's one of that. It's like the subway going underneath, you know, you hear it and you feel it, but you don't go running. So he kind of had that experience of terror that, what is that? And he's like, oh, you know, it's an earthquake, you know, so what are we going to do about this entrance?
The show must go on, even with earthquakes and everything else happening.
That's real California mentality.
That's
just, you know, it's like talking about the weather. And and we did get away pretty easy on that last one. If that had been in the city, we probably wouldn't be so jocular about it. But
yeah.
That one was way out there in the desert, minimal damage and aftershocks. But that's, you know, that's California life.
Yeah, thankfully everybody's okay, and hopefully the rest of the run will not be quite so dramatic as it was during rehearsals.
But keep the drama on stage.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Well, we're so happy that we got to talk to you at the beginning of this run.
Same here. Thanks so much for calling in.
Absolutely, and we wish you the best. I encourage you to run down to the North Coast Repertory Theater in beautiful Solana Beach, California. They are playing until August 4th.
That's right. Don't take a gamble.
Oh, wait. Yes.
Oh, what?
We did get extended.
Well, you're hearing it here.
hot news. The reviews were good enough that we got another week to August 11th.
That is incredible. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, that is wonderful. Yeah. Now playing through August 11th.
I buried the lead, right? I should have started with that.
Well, that is fantastic. What a great surprise. Mark Saltzman, what a pleasure talking to
An
you.
An honor speaking
Same
with
here.
You. Yes. Have a great day. Center Theater Group has the most exciting news, Lara. They are presenting at the Kirk Douglas Theater, Friends, the musical parody.
Da, na, 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 na,
Seriously,
na,
no, it's so exciting. They are celebrating the adventures of your favorite group of 20-something friends as they navigate the pitfalls of work, life, and love in the 1990s Manhattan.
Oh, I grew up watching that show, and I'm so excited to see, you know, my childhood flash before my eyes.
Could
on
you
stage
be
in Culver
any
City.
More excited?
Could you be any cuter, Will? All right, well, we're very excited because we get to talk to one half of the writing team, and they have a very cool story. Wait till you hear about this. Bob McSmith, welcome to West of Broadway.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is exciting because, well, I mean, it's always exciting when we get to talk to an awesome creative mind like you, but you're just Aww. Hours away from Friends, the musical parody, opening in Culver City right now.
Yes. Tonight is the first preview, and tomorrow is the official opening. And
this is so, exciting.
It's so exciting. The tour has been going amazing so far, and we're so glad to be out here on the West Coast. It's my first time in L.A.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How do you like it so far?
I love it. We rode down the beach yesterday from Venice to Santa Monica, and it's so beautiful. It's such a wonderful, wonderful city.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here, bringing a little bit of New York here to L.A. with our favorite 20-somethings.
Yeah, a little bit of our edge.
You know what, Bob? I was trying to explain to Will. I said, okay, so it's Bob and Tobley McSmith. They're best friends, and they have the same last name. So can you tell us a little bit how you guys met up and became friends and started writing together?
It's we basically moved to New York at the same time and into this same apartment on the same day. And the real answer is the non-PG one is that we were high on mushrooms and staring at a tree, and Tobley said we should write a Saved by the Bell musical. And literally, we did. We're the only people to ever follow through on a mushroom thought in the history of the world.
And look where it led you. I'm glad that you followed through on that.
15 years later, yes.
And here you are. So maybe you can tell us a little bit, too, about Friends, the musical parody. I've heard it covers, what, all 10 years of the show? Do you just blow through the highlights of each episode? Or what's the storyline with that?
Sure. It follows the plot of Friends pretty closely. It's all 10 seasons in under 2 hours, but it kind of takes on its own storyline as well, not to give too much away, but you follow the friends through their journey as they fall in love, as maybe some of them take a break. It's got everything you would want from Friends. It's got Janice. It's got Unagi. It's got the Moist Maker sandwich. So everything is covered.
I sounded like Janice right there. Chandler Bing. Okay.
Oh,
don't give anything
my
away, but I'm just
God.
Hoping that Smelly Cat and the Hairy Naked Guy, the neighbor guy, is in it.
Yes, and no. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
Obviously, it's a parody, so there's some things we can do and there's some things we can't, and we have a lot of fun with that as well.
Yeah,
excellent.
And it is a little raunchy, right? It's recommended for ages 13 plus.
Exactly, like teenagers up, totally fine. We've seen people of all ages, and this is, you know, nothing worse than you would see on an episode of Friends, so I'll leave that to your discretion.
Bob, tell me about the casting process. Like, how did you find the people that were good enough to fill these iconic roles?
That's the hard thing. And this cast is amazing.
Awesome.
They're all Broadway caliber singers and dancers. And it's a lot of it is, do they look like the character? Do they have comic timing? Sammy was actually our swing in New York, who plays Rachel, Sammy Griffith. So she covered all the tracks in New York, and then on tour, like, she's blossomed into her interpretation of Rachel, which brings the house down every night. Dominic, who plays Joey, they're all amazing. They all, like, really embody the characters.
Tell me that they actually became friends because they're in Friends. Like, they're all...
I think they were kind of forced to. When you're on a bus with someone for 6 months, you kind of get close.
You know, we gave away tickets at my radio station, Bob, and one of my winners, she's like, this, you know, is my favorite show ever, and I still have the Rachel haircut, so I'm going to be wearing that to opening night.
Atta
she's like,
girl.
I'm ready. Yeah.
If you wait long enough.
So much maintenance.
Yeah, it was. You had the layers just right, and if you had a cowlick, it was just a mess.
Well, it's a whole process.
It's so crazy to me because, like, thanks to platforms like Netflix, my best friend, her daughter is a sophomore in college and obsessed with Friends. Like, she
yes.
knows every episode.
That's the amazing thing about the show, is that it's hitting those three different age groups.
Mm-hmm.
People like me and Tobley, who grew up watching it on the first run, then people who saw it in syndication, and then people now watching it with their children on Netflix. So it really does touch all age groups, and the stories are still relatable even this day. It's a love story.
So yeah. You're bringing families together, Bob. Thank you for that. Did you guys write original music? Like, original songs in this too?
Yeah, it's original songs. Asaf Gleisner, who is the composer, brings in different melodies. We never liked musicals, Tobley and I, and recently we've really fallen in love with them. So it's something that kind of happened over time. So in this show, it does range from Broadway theater to pop music. There's homages to Chicago, Hamilton, Les Mis, but then at the same time, there's Sir Mix-a-Lot, and there's Counting Crows and Bare Naked Ladies. And so you kind of hear all those different things come together in a really beautiful way.
What was the musical that made you fall in love with musicals? Because you said you weren't always a fan, but was there one that kind of changed your mind and put you on this path?
He's like, yeah, this one.
I'm not really sure. As a kid, it was the only one I liked was Little Shop, obviously,
sure.
and Rocky Horror. But I think it was when Tobley and I saw Avenue Q and Book of Mormon. Like, those two were really like, oh, kind of introductions to musicals. And that's what we do, too. We want to write musicals for people like us who didn't like musicals. And you kind of start to really appreciate the form and how it's done.
You are the gateway drug to musicals.
It's the gateway musical.
I want that on my tombstone.
Well, we're thrilled to see it. Will cannot make it, but I will be there hosting 90s trivia, Friends and musical trivia, before opening night tomorrow night. So we are just so happy that you guys came to L.A. We hope you have a great run here. And
thank you.
Yay!
Thank you so much.
And Friends, the musical parody, it is on at the Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City through August 4th.
And all of you kids listening, you should stay away from mushrooms. I don't care how successful they'll make you.
There's a public service announcement right there from West of Broadway. Well, that was super fun. We blew through three shows.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a theater fan, these are all must-sees. So,
yeah.
And if you check out any of them, of course, please reach out to us and let us know. You can catch me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Lara Scott Media.
And please follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Will Armstrong PR.
And if you're looking for us, you can find us
just west of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.